J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
And now, in a desperate attempt to fill 24 hours of programming, here's some bullshit that happened somewhere today. We've got some footage here of the bullshit, which began just after 3 o'clock this afternoon when residents in this neighborhood were shocked to see this fairly common thing happening. An attractive witness described the event in breathless terms.
I went to my window and I was like, whoa, there's some bullshit happening.
That happened right over there. I'm an older man, so you can trust what I say.
Authorities in special uniforms rushed to the scene to stand around while our cameras filmed them. Our reporter Keith Collins joins us now live from the scene of the bullshit through the use of expensive technology. Good to be with you again, Keith. We have a colorful graphic here that shows instances of bullshit like this are on the rise. Is that right?
Yes, although why is unclear. Some say it's because of one f***ing reason. Others say it's because of some other f***ing reason. I talked to this random expert on the subject who told me this thing you're about to hear him say right after he points at a piece of paper.
I spent my entire life attending the nation's most prestigious schools to talk about bullshit like this. I'm really just happy to be on TV.
Now let's see if we can drag this out a little longer by showing emails written by some of our viewers. I once saw some stuff kind of like the shit you're talking about happen. I have nothing more to add. Another person says, I am angry that things like this happen. I get mad about every bullshit thing I see. So obviously a lot of opinions there to make this story seem somewhat meaningful.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. This bullshit has some broader implications. Here's a list of tips on how to avoid bullshit happening to you.
And here's some footage of Congress.
Yes, I see that.
Well, thank you, Keith. Let us know if there are any updates on this bullshit story from there.
There's no way there will be.
Very good. We'll check back with you in an hour anyway.
I'm just some f***ing guy.
When we return, we'll look at live footage of a car chase taken from a helicopter and free associate about what's going on.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, October 14th, 2022, 25 days remaining until the midterms, and who knows what that is going to bring. How you doing, kids? It's JC. You are at jcontheline.com. If you're thinking to yourself, hey, wait a minute, why was that censored? Why did you have that bleeped? And I have a couple of different versions of that bit about the bullshit news. And I'm terrified that when I go back on the radio someday, and it will happen here one of these days, that I'm going to mix these up and I'm going to play the wrong one on the air someday and get my ass in trouble. So I got to figure out which one is which here and get some of these things edited. All right. Well, you know, that's the way it goes. What can I say? I hate when I have to start the damn show with an apology. Well, they're not happy with the verdict yesterday. People were like, the kid should have gotten the death penalty, and instead he's going to spend life in prison. And nobody seems pleased with the outcome. And apparently there was one juror now who said they were threatened during the whole thing. And apparently there were one, two, maybe even three jurors who were fighting against the idea of the death penalty. But here, this is what I thought, and maybe I'm in the minority. I must be, because I haven't heard anybody say this. Life in prison? I think that's worse than the death penalty. And let me put a giant asterisk there, too. Just how long did Jeffrey Dahmer last in prison? A couple of years? It's going to be the same thing with this guy. You can call it life in prison. I'll give him 2 years before somebody shivs him. At least if they kill you, they put you in the electric chair, or gas chamber, or something like that. It's done. It's over. It's done. You're sort of off the hook. You're dead, all right, but you're not suffering for an entire lifetime. An entire what? How long? Let's just say somebody doesn't shiv him. All right, spend the next 50 years behind bars. I think that's worse than the death penalty. And like I said, he's going to suffer a violent death in prison. Was that a good day for Donald Trump yesterday? If you didn't watch for some reason and you didn't see any of the news reports afterwards, they've got Steve Bannon on tape saying that the whole thing about the insurrection and not leaving the White House and just claiming that you won, whether you did or not, was, I mean, they were talking about that in July prior to the election. They had a couple of things like that yesterday, but the people who needed to see that were not the people who were watching, and that's why this whole thing appears to be going nowhere. Although, the subpoena will be ignored. Oh, and then the other thing yesterday was the entire reel of people like Roger Stone and everybody who was sort of in the Trump inner circle, all taking the Fifth Amendment time after time after time when they were subpoenaed and brought in. Like I said, though, doesn't appear to be changing anybody's mind, and that's why we ain't moving. We're going to have a hard freeze across the Midwest and in St. Louis probably Tuesday morning of next week, probably Tuesday morning. A couple of days later into next week, it will moderate a little bit, but it'll kill anything that's outside, including all the stuff that makes you sneeze. So it's the end of the allergy season. That'll be probably on Tuesday night. We're seeing snow across parts of Wisconsin here over the course of the next couple of days. But if you're looking for some good news, something to make you happy, take it away, boys.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink. And the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Blues open the regular season tomorrow night. Big rally that'll kick off. Weather should be cooperative. I think they're talking about 65 for the high on Saturday. You know what this is the anniversary of? It's amazing to think this was 35 years ago. The year was 1987, and a little girl who was 18 months old, Jessica McClure, fell 22 feet down a well in Midland, Texas. The nation watched as rescue workers tried to free her. She was pulled from the well 2.5 days later. TV viewers around the world were so moved by her 58 hours of hardship that they sent money to the girl, who inherited a trust fund of $1 million. To this day, she doesn't even remember falling down the well. Well, you don't remember things from only being a year and a half old. I show my daughter, who's now 13, I show her something that happened when she was 5 or 6 years old, and she has no recollection of it. So there's still a lot of television reporters spread all over the country who have that on their resume, that they were there in Midland, Texas to cover that story. I've seen it a million times. Yeah, it was almost like the Ivan Browning thing down in New Madrid, where, you know, remember when you thought there was going to be a major earthquake? What was that, back in 1990? Might have been 89. All I remember is we went down there, because we were broadcasting live too. We went down there, there was something like 40 satellite uplink trucks from all over the country. Primarily, it was Midwest, you know, primarily, you know, Cincinnati, Louisville, Memphis, obviously St. Louis, but the national media was there too. I still remember Russ Mitchell, who had just gone to work for CBS News, was down there reporting for the network. And of course, nothing happened. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. I got to New Madrid for the first time in my life and was like, wow. Apparently the main objective of living in New Madrid when you're little is to make sure you get the fuck out someday. You want to talk about God forgot down there. Heidi Glaus, who was on Channel 5 for a long time and now is doing radio, that's her hometown. We're still playing baseball, of course, and last night the Astros beat the Mariners. Yankees-Guardians game was postponed. This is the anniversary back in 1985 of the Ozzie Smith Go Crazy, Folks Go Crazy home run. That was 1985. 2 days later in Los Angeles, it was the Jack Clark home run. But of perhaps more historical value, especially for St. Louis fans who hate the Cubs, this is the anniversary of the Steve Bartman game. And with that, we move on to David Letterman.
The category tonight, top 10 messages left on the answering machine of the Cubs fan who tried to catch the foul ball in game 7. Yeah. It was in the eighth inning, and when he went after the foul ball, the Marlins were behind 3-0. And after that moment, the Marlins went on to score 8 runs and defeated the Cubs 8-3. Top 10 messages left on the answering machine of that Cubs fan who tried to catch the foul ball in game 6. Here we go, number 10. You owe me $7.50 for the beer I threw at you. Number 9. I'm with Century 21. Heard you might be moving. Number 8. Hey, I just got back in the country. How was the game? Number 7. Don't worry, I'm sure we'll get another shot at the World Series in 2098. Number 6. This is Pete Rose. You cost me 50 G's, jackass. Number 5. Number 5. Hey, it's Don Zimmer. Thanks for taking the heat off me. Number 4. Hi, this is Mike from Hasbro. I'm calling to verify some information for your Trivial Pursuit question. Number 3, have you heard about Northfield Medical's great prices on cosmetic surgery? Number 2, hey, it's Bill Buckner. You want to hang out? Number 1, hi, Rush Limbaugh here. Give me a buzz if you need something to take the edge off. There you go.
It's amazing how that story will not go away, even ESPN. Somebody produced like an entire movie about Bartman, and nobody seems to know exactly where he is. A select handful of people do. And he just doesn't want any part of it. He's just like, leave me alone. And over the course of time, more and more people have said, wait a minute here now. Don't necessarily just blame him. There were a bunch of people who jumped up and he was just the focus of the attention. But that story just ain't going away. Getting closer and closer to Halloween. Decorations going up all over the place. A lot of people are looking for movies that will scare the kids a little bit, but not terrify them, where they're, you know, you're going to be on a psychiatrist's couch for the next 40 years. Hocus Pocus, obviously a lot of people into that. The Ghostbusters movie, could show them that. There's a dick reference, though, in that movie. Nightmare Before Christmas, Halloween Town, Coraline. The final Halloween movie with Jamie Lee Curtis comes out today. And there's this horror movie called Terrifier 2, and it is reportedly so extreme that it's making people throw up and pass out. Third film to feature a killer named Art the Clown. That Halloween Ends thing with Jamie Lee Curtis debuts today on Peacock, the 13th movie in the Halloween franchise. I interviewed her in Los Angeles years ago. She was very proud of her Doc Martin boots for some reason. I walked in and sat down, and she's like, how do you like my boots? I'm like, I'm sure they're fine. There's lots of other things I'm looking at here, but she's very, very nice. and a lot of fun.
I do have an incredible meter to register whether somebody is being genuine or not. I can see it coming a mile away.
All right, at some point during this interview, tell me whether I'm full of shit or not, okay?
But you're not, and you can tell right off the bat. There's no ulterior motive here, that you have a conception of somebody. It's different. You're man enough to say you were wrong. I mean, it's right away, you're a person who you can trust.
Kiss me.
Kiss me, baby, now.
See, and there are people that you can futz with like that. You can have fun with them a little bit. And I'll tell you something else that I've discovered. The more attractive the woman, and I would put Jamie Lee Curtis in that category, also Kim Basinger would be another example. So many beautiful women are very intimidating to men. And so they get treated differently their entire lives. Until somebody like me comes along, ugly as fuck, but sticking him and teasing him and fooling around with him a little bit and trying to get him to laugh. I mean, that's all I've been doing since I was 5 years old, is trying to make the pretty girls laugh, all right? Somehow it led to a radio career, but that's all it is. Down deep inside, most beautiful women are just like anybody else, and now you start playing around with them, and you're not threatening at all. And Cyndi Lauper said it, girls just want to have fun. Even really, really beautiful, stunning looking women. The question is, I mean, that's from years ago. Could you even do that now? Could you sit in an interview room in Los Angeles, you know, woke capital of the world, and could you even, like, in a joking fashion like that, like I did, say, kiss me? And you heard it. She took it great. I mean, she took it as a joke. You do that now. Mr. Corcoran, we're going to have a talk with you. I can't wait. I cannot wait for whatever this thing has been the last couple of years with all this political correctness and all this woke shit. It will be a very, very happy day when this period of bullshit is finally over. We're talking about Halloween movies coming out. Also, one of these movies that is getting Oscar buzz for its honest portrayal of a mother's anguish during the racial injustice era of this country. And I mean the really bad one. And we're talking about Emmett Till that sparked the civil rights movement. And that movie is also out today. And add this to the list of really, really bad ideas. They're going to try to revive the Naked Gun movie series. And Liam Neeson is going to play the part of Lieutenant Frank Drebin, who Leslie Nielsen used to do. I don't know if the Abrams Zucker team has got anything to do with this. Let me just check on this real quick. Let's see. This isn't official, but there's word that Neeson will play the son of Leslie Nielsen's character. Maybe that could work. But no word of Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker. I'll keep an eye on it, see what happens. But we do know that Liam Neeson can play lighter stuff, obviously in Love Actually, which is part of the obligatory Christmas list viewing choices at Christmas time. But then also, this thing.
I'd like to ask a few questions about this breakfast cereal.
Yeah, box of Trix.
That's right. I've been led to understand that Trix are exclusively for children. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, they say tricks are for kids in the commercials.
And is that enforced by law?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So if I purchase these tricks, there'll be no trouble?
No, you should be fine.
You do understand that I myself am not a child?
I was able to sniff that out, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring these back to my apartment.
You'll be okay.
And, I won't be followed.
No, that's not in our budget here.
Hey, I won't forget what you've done for me here today.
I would prefer that you do.
God, that's a funny idea. Oh, my God. All right. Remember yesterday I was talking about the fact that as soon as baseball season is over for me, which is two more weeks, I'm going to go find myself a pickleball league somewhere, just someplace to play. I'm getting suckered into this. I'm going to at least try it and see. Pickleball seems to be getting a lot of attention lately. And in case you missed it, Maren Morris, this is a country singer, very popular right now, on the cover of Pickleball Magazine. She started to play it during her latest tour with her crew members. So it's really happening. Megan Thee Stallion, hosting Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. She is also the musical guest. And then we got a pretty good Monday night, Sunday night football game. Sunday night is the Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys. But it's that late game. It's the 3:25 game on Sunday afternoon. Buffalo at Kansas City. Two very, very good quarterbacks. Something's going to have to give. And even though that is on home turf for the Chiefs, the Bills are 2.5-point favorites in that game. Boy, there have been some good matchups with some damn good quarterbacks here lately. Who does Bill Maher have on tonight? I can't find it. Well, you know, but it's just as well because I'm having trouble. You know, we've been talking about this. I've been having trouble watching that show because of the way he's doing things now and even that professional bunch of laughers they have in the crowd and all the guys hooting and hollering. It's ruining my complete enjoyment of a show that I really, really used to like. All right, what else do we have here show business-wise? Cuba Gooding Jr. cut a deal in his forcible touching case in New York. He won't serve any jail time.
Show me the bail money!
Netflix's new ad-supported tier is going to be available on November 3rd. It'll cost $7 a month. Martin Scorsese is going to produce and direct the first two episodes of a Gangs of New York TV series. Going back 75 years, 1947, one of the guys who had the right stuff, Chuck Yeager, broke the sound barrier. He became the first person to ever fly faster than the speed of sound. Then they got pictures of it, too, and it just looks like a bunch of cotton candy around the plane when you break the speed of sound. But I remember being a little boy in Chicago and, you know, some of the airport. I lived two blocks from Midway Airport, and they had a couple of planes flying around Chicago breaking the sound barrier, and people were complaining because it was like shattering glass and knocking things off walls and stuff like that. They were in an exploratory phase back then, just trying to see what would happen. 45 years ago today, 1977, Bing Crosby, who recorded White Christmas, I believe they said it was like almost 100 degrees in Los Angeles recording studio there, and it was like 100 degrees, and he's recording White Christmas in the middle of summer, and he died on this date in 1977 at the age of 73 in Madrid, Spain, and not a moment too soon, because all you have to do is look up, just Google Bing Crosby and the amount of suffering that that guy is responsible for. He used to beat his kids, psychologically torture them, and he was a bad, bad motherfucker. When I say bad, I don't mean bad good. I mean bad, bad. And I've had a couple of sort of semi-interesting slash blushing slash very, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. But after you have just watched somebody be naked on camera, now it's the next morning and you are sitting 2.5 feet away from them in a television interview. I remember that with what's her name from Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkley. So now, and in her case, you're running around for 2 hours with her shirt off in that movie. And then it's the next morning and you're sitting there and you're trying not to blush and you're sort of a little embarrassed. And she was picking up on it big time, picking up on it big time. You'd try to avoid eye contact and she would move to try to get into your field of vision. She was a fucking riot. She wasn't embarrassed at all. She wasn't prudish at all. The same thing happened in 1994. There's this Gary Marshall movie with Rosie O'Donnell and Dan Aykroyd and a bunch of other people. And the star of the movie was Dana Delaney, who a lot of people used to watch on China Beach. She's in this movie called Exit to Eden. And again, it's the Catholic girl who says, "Oh, you want to do a nude scene? Fine, I'll show you everything." And it was everything, even the hair down there, right? And she comes walking out of the pool. Now it's, you know, 15 hours later, and I'm sitting face-to-face with her. All of that happening in Los Angeles 28 years ago today. Pulp Fiction came out 28 years ago, also in 1994. All right, birthdays today include Stacey Keibler, the former WWE beauty who was boinking. Well, I guess she was probably the last beautiful girl to boink George Clooney before he finally said, "I'm hanging up my condoms." She's 43 today. Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks, 48. Thomas Dolby, he was blinded by science, you know, 64. Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues, 76. Ralph Lauren, 83. Birthdays on Saturday include Emeril Lagasse, celebrity chef, Bamaru, And good friend of Jimmy Buffett, by the way, 63. Larry Miller, one of the funniest people I have ever known. He was in the Nutty Professor movies with Eddie Murphy. He was in Pretty Woman. But, you know, he did so many stand-up appearances, particularly on Letterman back in the 80s. And just the funniest guy ever. And when we had him in the studio, it's been a long time since I've played this. This is me and Eric Mink, and I believe Close was in on us with that too. And this is about a 3-minute story, and it's just Larry Miller at his best.
I was doing a benefit for a charity in Los Angeles, and apparently Nancy Sinatra was in the audience, and I guess she liked me, and she called her dad. And the next day I was renting a tux and flying to Vegas for the first time to work, and I opened for Frank Sinatra at the what was then the Bally Grand Hotel in Los, about 5 years ago and 6 years ago. And, well, 5 and a half. No, come to think of it. Larry, come on, Larry. And it was just thrilling. My first time in Vegas anyway, and although I could call it Vegas, even then, I think, you know, first time, it's a great town.
Got the loss.
You know, first time in the Rat Pack. But really, first time in Las Vegas, and you know, this gorgeous hotel, they really... big dressing room with like a living room, bar, kitchen, and bedroom area.
Yeah, those really tight pants and pointy shoes, the whole thing. Yeah, skinny tie, yeah.
No, that's today. That's what I'm wearing now. And the point is, but I have no entourage, to say the least. I don't need one anyway at any point. Yeah. But, you know, even in years to come, I don't see that happening. But I didn't even have agents at that point, so I'm there all alone, and I hang up the rented tux.
No.
I'm standing there, yeah.
I can see Larry at the tux place on Sunset. I need this tux by 8. I'm leaving to go to Vegas. I'm opening for Sinatra tomorrow.
It's like, yeah,
well,
right.
Although,
I'm
going to
need it for another 2 days.
For whatever it's worth, my way is that it's sort of unseemly to say that sort of thing anyway. So when I rented the tux, you know, they just say, oh, some guy, yeah, 1 minute, pal. You know, you wouldn't, you know, it's just not quite right to say, gee, I'm kind of in a hurry because yeah. I have to, show's in an hour. But anyway, I'm standing there. So finally, like a knucklehead, I said, well, might as well get dressed. And I take off my clothes, and I'm just there in my boxer shorts, and the pants are down at the ankles, and I've no shirt on. And there's a knock on the door, and I kind of lean my head into the living room area. And the door opens, and an older man just leans in with his finger and, you know, like crooks his finger at me, and I kind of, and he disappears back around the door, and I said, what the heck would, gee, I don't. So I did that, the classic guy thing, the Frankenstein walk with the pants down.
The shuffle,
you know,
step.
Yeah, into the living room. And just as I get in the living room.
The Frankenstein walk.
Yeah, you know, that kind of big shoe stutter step. And
there was a joke there.
Right. And just as I get there, and I'm there with the pants down and the boxer shorts and no shirt, at that second, now around the door comes Sinatra with that tux of his that's always poured on. It looks just so...
Right.
No one has ever looked better in a tux than Sinatra.
Yeah.
And even at that point, he was 75, I guess, at that point, but still looking wonderful and big blue eyes, and he's got his hand held out and a big smile. And now, whatever you do, it's no good, because if you try to pull your pants up...
He's standing there with his hand out.
Unfortunate, right. He still has his hand out.
Right.
And if you're just standing there in your underwear... That's no good either. So you're twixt the rock and the hard place, but still you just held, I put my hand out and he takes it, covers my hand with his, he just says, he's, you know, close up, he says, just want to tell you, Larry, very, very happy to have you here. My daughter Nancy says you're a very, very funny guy, and don't you worry, I know it's your first time here, you'll be great, just have fun, and the little pinch, the cheek, the thing, the big wink, and he was so nice, and I'm... You know, just, well, I'm so, just thank you, you know, I'm very,
and your pants are on the floor.
And your pants are on the floor, and you go, and he hasn't said anything about this, by the way. He's just shaking my hand.
He's a pro, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. Still just shaking
my hand.
Well,
he's been there before. That's for
sure. You know, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe he assumed it was someone else in around the corner. There wasn't, by the way. There could have been. Don't kid yourself for a second. But the point is, there is a point to this. And here it comes. as he does, finishes with the handshake, the wink, you know, and it's so nice. And then he just says, okay, we'll see you later. And he just turns around and strolls out. And as he's leaving, without turning around, over his shoulder, he says, well, by the way, if that's in your act, I hope you close with it.
Oh, man. Priceless. Just absolutely sensational stuff. Sometime Google Larry Miller and the 5 Stages of Drinking, and you'll get entertained by that, too, as well. All right, finishing up the birthdays here. Richard Carpenter of The Carpenter, 76. Sunday birthdays, John Mayer, 45. Flea for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, 60. Tim Robbins, 64. Bob Weir, The Grateful Dead, 75. Suzanne Summers, 76. And Fred Turner of BTO, 79. 13-year-old kid got a squeaker from a dog toy stuck in his throat, so he squeaked whenever he breathed. Luckily, none of the Three Stooges are still alive to sue him for copyright infringement. And Amazon says it's going to hire 150,000 workers for the holiday. So if you like peeing in a bottle for minimum wage, you are in luck. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, October 14th, 2022 is in the can. 25 days until the midterms. Like I said, hard freeze across the entire area. First part of next week, be on your toes. Let's go, Blues. Don't forget now, if you miss a podcast, we archive everything. You can binge them on the weekend if you need to do that. Everything is installed right here. Just click on it. We've made it as easy as possible to be able to listen. You can email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.